Well, I didn't pay a single person to participate. Like, I asked, will you take me on a boat? And they said, yes. Our people here are very willing to share their culture, which is, I think it's something special that people are very kind here, and they want to share. They want to show you their cool thing, you know?
Thanks for joining us on Louisiana's Playground Podcast, your roadmap to all things Lake Charles, Louisiana. I'm Brady Raynard.
And I'm Jillian Corder. And of course, we are excited to bring you the authentic stories and experiences of Southwest Louisiana. We have all the tools you need to build your own personal Lake Charles itinerary.
A terrific show for you today. Mm-hmm. And let's make a mini announcement. The last audio-only episode in our catalog.
That is right. Now, you can not only listen to us, but if you'd like, if you so dare, you can watch us, too.
And that will start with episode 100, and we have some other details that are pretty excited about for that episode coming up. We really think that one's going to be great. But we also think this one is fantastic.
We know
as
this
well.
One's fantastic.
Yeah. Episode 99, we talked to Matthew Lundmark, who is a local video producer, creator. He runs a local production company that helped us bring our America 250 series to life.
Made in Southwest Louisiana.
Built for America.
That's
and
right.
So it was a really cool story. He goes behind the scenes, tells us a lot of cool things about it. It's really a lot of fun for the episode. But as you know, before we get to that, we do what we always do around here.
We're going to begin the show with a taste of Southwest Louisiana, a segment we call On V Eats.
And this week, we head down the interstate across the water to Sulphur.
The water.
Yeah, to Sulphur, to Big E's Kitchen.
Yes.
A little spot off Ruth Street that has big taste.
That's
little
right.
Little spot, big taste.
Little spot, big taste. It's a cute little area, a little restaurant, kind of a diner-esque feel. It's got the...
Sure.
It's got the
modern diner, I would call it.
Sure. Sure. And it, I don't know, the best food to me because it's like home cooking.
Yep.
But also they serve ice cream and, you know, I don't know. That's the best for me.
And coffee.
And coffee, too. That's right. They're kind of a coffee shop as well, all built into one. So
yeah, they have a local coffee shop, too, Covenant Coffee, there. And it's a whole family affair between everyone that kind of runs everything. But as far on the food side, there's a lot of good stuff. They have their daily plate lunches. And apparently Wednesdays they have hamburger steak, and that is their most popular day.
Unfortunately, we did not go on a Wednesday, but we did go on a Thursday.
And that was Jambalaya Day.
And it was Jambalaya Day, and that is what I got. In addition to their plate lunches, I just want to say this, their daily plate lunches, they do have a full menu to order from as well.
Right. So, and that's where I ordered from. I had the fried shrimp and fish basket. There's also burgers. And one of the people with us got the burgers, and they loved them.
Yeah.
She was all about it. She said, this is now one of my new go-to burgers.
Oh, okay. Top of the others. Yeah, so I had the chicken and sausage jambalaya with corn and green beans. I was trying to be good because I'm sort of kind of on a diet.
Mm-hmm.
Jambalaya may have broken that diet a little bit.
Not too bad.
We're just going to ignore those calories. But let me tell you how good it was. Chicken and sausage, so good. Chicken was tender. It was so well seasoned, extremely flavorful. The sausage was not too spicy because I don't like spicy food, but it had a nice little oomph to it.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And then overall, how do I describe? It's hard for me to describe rice, like a rice dressing kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was like...
It looks sticky.
It was sticky. Okay, but I don't mean that in a bad way.
No, well.
That's the best word to describe it for me. Like you could, with your fork, you could like squish it into a bite and it's so good. It's like it's moist and the meat in it, they didn't, you know, gyp you on meat. Like it's full of chicken, it's full of sausage. But yeah, that rice was so perfectly cooked. It was absolutely delicious. Sticky might resonate as like a bad thing for some people, but for me, that's what I'm looking for in a meal like that. And then the corn and the green beans, also really well seasoned. I say this a lot here on the podcast, that those are not throwaway sides.
They're not just mailed in. These are not throwaway green beans.
Because a lot of places, it just, like me at home, I'm just dumping green beans out into my plate and calling it a day, you know, like that. I'm not doing anything to them, but these are like cooked. He's like, this took effort and seasoning, and the corn was really, really good. I ate all of it first.
Corn is your favorite.
I do love corn, and this was really good. I did. I ate all of that first, and then I finished off everything else. And despite my diet and how big the plate was, I finished every single grain of that sticky rice.
It did look really good, and I tried a bite, and the jambalaya was very good. I went with, I'm a big just seafood fan, and so anytime that I can get a chance to eat shrimp and fish and et cetera, I do it. And look, the shrimp and fish both were fantastic. The fish was huge, and it was a cornmeal batter, crunchy and flaky. You know, it has that perfect kind of fish taste, not too fishy. It was just a wonderful, flaky, big white piece of fish, right?
Fresh,
and it was, and the cornmeal batter meant it was crunchy and had a little bit of a flavor to it, too. It was wonderful. Whereas the shrimp, they use flour batter, right? So it's a thinner batter for the shrimp because the shrimp were huge. And they were cooked to perfection. Both were fried exactly like they needed to. So they obviously have their times down, their temperatures down, and it matters. The little details mattered.
It's an art.
It's an art, and they knew what they were doing. The shrimp were great as well, well seasoned. And then they have big, thick, crinkled cut fries, the standard, right? Well seasoned. They don't skip on any of that. And so each of those things paired well into each other. And so ultimately, it was a great meal. The issue is, because there's so much food, you don't really have room for dessert. And they have great desserts.
Yeah,
you have ice creams, their bluebell ice creams.
Next time we go, we'll be more strategic about how we order.
Yeah, your eyes definitely lead the way, and then your stomach is lagging behind until you finish, and your stomach's like,
you gotta have,
you my lungs are burning.
You gotta have a lot of willpower and stop yourself so that you can get some good dessert too, but great little spot, right there in Sulphur and just off the interstate. So excellent if you're passing through and want a good lunch spot,
or even going to the Creole Nature Trail. The Creole Nature Trail Adventure Point.
It's now the unofficial start of the Creole Nature Trail, there off the interstate. There you go.
From a great meal to a great guest, we welcome on Matthew Lundmark. Matthew is the founder of Lundmark Creative, a video production company right here in Lake Charles. And if you've seen our Made in Southwest Louisiana, Built for America video series, then you've seen his work, turning our vision for that project into something that's truly special. And so today we're going behind the camera to talk about what it takes to tell a story worth watching. Welcome to the show, Matthew.
Thanks for having me.
We'd like everybody to get to know how our guest play in Louisiana's playground. So we have some rapid fire questions for you.
Mm-hmm.
Ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Crawfish or gumbo?
Depends on the weather, but mostly gumbo.
Mostly gumbo. So it is weather dependent. Oh, wrong answer.
I don't like that.
Well, it's weather dependent. That, like, I'm not going to have crawfish in the winter. Right?
Okay.
Seasonal.
Okay, I get it.
Right?
But do you find gumbo
seasonal?
But you
absolutely
seasonal?
Would, if possible.
Gumbo is mostly seasonal, but if I have the chance to have it, I will, but I won't really cook a pot in the summertime.
I'm leaving this interview and going to eat gumbo, just
he
FYI.
He actually is. It's Gumbo Wednesday, so, Brady's going to go find gumbo somewhere in Lake Charles. That's how he works. Okay, our second question here is poolside or beachside?
Beachside.
Same.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing beats the real thing.
I want to hear the waves, the wind, smell the salt, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Not that concrete jungle that Brady likes of a pool.
Who dislikes a pool?
I like a pool too. I just don't have enough friends with pools who invite me.
Okay. And now we're getting, you don't just dislike,
problem.
You don't dislike pools.
No,
you're just poor.
I'm just poor. That's actually what it is. I don't hate pools. I just have an inflatable pool in my backyard right now for my kids. And
I don't see you with an inflatable beach in the backyard.
I know. If only.
Checkmate.
If only. Okay, last one. Concert or comedy show?
Well, this is tough because I am friends with Jacob Guidry.
Yes.
So
he's got some big acts coming.
I love to see some good comedy
way.
Here whenever he puts it on. But I love a concert, you know?
Yeah.
And we've gotten some great acts here lately for concerts.
As we always do, man.
I'm trying to remember
some people
who we saw here last. I mean, it's like Switchfoot, Lit, and Fuel, I believe, are playing at L'Auberge.
Oh, that's awesome.
In September. So, you know, as a millennial, those are the ones I'm excited about.
Yeah, we like those too. I think our very first concert in Lake Charles ever was Three Doors Down.
Saw them.
And it was really good.
For sure. All right, Matthew, let's move on to the conversation at hand. Can you give us kind of an introduction to how you became a filmmaker behind Made in SWLA, Built for America?
I am a video producer. I've been playing with cameras since I was a kid, and that's what I do professionally now as well. As you said, I have my own video production business that I've been doing myself for about 4 years here in the area. And it started kind of serendipitously as a bit of a passion project. I was starting to do some interviews and just getting footage at different local Cajun, Creole, and Zydeco music events and interviewing people like Rusty Matuire, Sean Ardwin, Chris Miller. And I was talking to someone who works at Visit Lake Charles about that. And then it was also serendipitous that they thought about doing this campaign later on, and thought, that's funny that you're working on something like that, because I want to work on something like that. And it worked out perfectly, because the passion project, I didn't really know what it was going to be. I was just getting some footage whenever I had time to do it. And I ended up actually using some of that footage in the final product for the America 250 project. So I guess it's just one of those things where everything kind of just came together like it seemed like it was supposed to.
Yeah. And you chose some four pillars, if you will, right? Culture, food, outdoors, history, and music for this. How did you come up with those? It's so hard to, you know, narrow it down here in our area, Southwest Louisiana. How did you get down to those?
So, I mean, that was a collaborative effort between myself and Visit Lake Charles and Brady Raynard.
I know that guy.
Hey, that guy.
Yeah.
We were the goal of this project, I think, was to set Southwest Louisiana as something a little different, to stand up on its own in Louisiana. If you travel somewhere and you meet somebody and you say, I'm from Louisiana, the first thing they say is, oh, I've been to New Orleans. I love that place. You know, and we wanted to focus on things that Lake Charles and Southwest Louisiana can say is theirs.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't know, like, the beginnings of Cajun Creole music started here, as well as Zydeco. We have a rich musical history here. We have a very interesting history. And the idea of those pillars, these are things that we can explore, and we won't confuse people with New Orleans.
Yeah. Yeah. We were just talking about that the other day, about how, you know, people think we all live on Bourbon Street and have pet alligators kind of thing. So,
but and we do, of course.
Obviously. But yeah, but getting people to really understand the real culture, not just like what you might think of in movies or something, or what you see nationally of what New Orleans is, which is great. We're proud of New Orleans, too,
but,
you know, we've got our own kind of unique identity.
We definitely do. I mean, and it also goes the same thing with the story of the Cajuns, you know. We're not all Cajun here.
Yeah.
You can hear us speaking. We sound like we're from Texas. So this corner of Louisiana is unique to the rest of the state.
Yeah. Now, speaking of that, hold on. I got a really good question for you.
Well, Brady was born in New Iberia, so he does, you know, originally have an accent.
But you mentioned the culture, and I think that's a good starting point for kind of the video series. So as Jillian mentioned, four videos, one for kind of each pillar, one of which was culture. And so I know in our discussions, trying to figure out, all right, how do we sum all of that up? And we thought the best way to kind of do it is Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
Right. It is the quintessential piece of culture that everyone kind of knows, but it also is a great representation of it, because of we work really hard to then party for a short period to get back to working really hard. And we do that throughout a lot of what we do. And then specifically in this area of the state, there's a lot of country Mardi Gras, right?
Yes.
The Curo de Mardi Gras, the run, the chicken run. You went to Iowa and you filmed
my
all
favorite.
Of that. Was that the first time that you had gotten a chance to be out there?
That was. I had always wanted to go to a traditional rural career de Mardi Gras experience. Just never made it happen. One of the reasons I thought that they were kind of, I'd have to drive an hour,
sure,
or something like that, to get to it. And I didn't really even know about the chicken run that goes on at Iowa right there. And so I hooked up with Rodney Victorian, who is the captain of the Iowa Mardi Gras, and interviewed him and got to be one of his guests. I mean, one of maybe 1,000 other guests that were there.
Can you give us a quick, his 1,000 closest friends.
Yes. Yeah. Can you give us the quick elevator pitch of what that day entails? What is the chicken run, so to speak?
So the tradition goes that people go from house to house and they perform, they do a dance or something like that, and then they get an ingredient to make the gumbo for the community. And that's what is part of the chicken run. And then they will throw a chicken in the air, and all the kids, or mostly the kids, will chase and try to catch the chicken.
Some adults out there, too.
Some adults as well.
Once in a while.
I love it. The people, the community, are the parade. It's not a parade put on for them. They are
the parade.
In it and for it.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. And it was just so, it was really cool. It was like such an experience. It was probably my favorite part of this whole video series was getting to be a part of that. And, you know, I've been to the Endymion Parade in New Orleans for Mardi Gras, and I would rather do this every time.
It's so different. Mardi Gras in Southwest Louisiana is obviously different than what New Orleans is putting on. And yes, we have the big parades that draw out the bigger crowds and things like that, the music and all that, but there's just something really down home, authentic.
That I would agree 100% with that. This was a true cultural experience. This was not going to Austin and booking an Airbnb tour and going on a taco tour.
Yeah,
to a being guided by a transplant. Telling you know this is where the locals eat. These were the locals' homes.
Yeah,
that we were visiting along the parade route. It goes into the residential neighborhood, which is, it's a rural area too, and they just stop all the trucks along the way, and we stop for lunch, and we just ate in people's front yards who were grilling. Some people invited us into their home to have food off their stovetop as well, and I was just amazed by the hospitality and just the kindness of everyone there, making us feel so welcome, especially for it being our first time.
Speaking of food, let's talk about the food video for a second. Some amazing chefs were featured in that too, and a real cast of characters.
Yeah.
How you find these people?
You just keep calling and asking people. I guess how it started. I mean, it was one of the more difficult videos to find our talent for. I want to say talent. These are all real people. They weren't acting at all. You know, this is their true lived-in experience. But it was hard to find people to participate because they're busy. Like,
this is their job.
This is their job. You saw how hard that these shrimpers, commercial fishermen, these chefs work every day. It was hard to find them, but many of them were on board with the project, even if they weren't willing to participate themselves. And then they would say, well, I know Jimbo might want to do it. I'll give you his phone number. And then, well, I know this. And it kept on going down the line until finally Snoopy, the shrimper, said, come on, you can get on my boat. And got up before the sun rose and got out there, and we dragged net in the ship channel.
I love that. You had an executive chef at a really nice local restaurant. Yeah. We had kind of an internet sensation, someone that kind of has, lack of a better term, a celebrity chef, right?
Yeah.
A seafood supplier, and then two shrimpers named Buster and Snoopy, right?
Why do shrimpers get the best nicknames?
Well, I don't even know if you can really tell in the video, because I didn't realize this till I was leaving the boat, but Snoopy has a Snoopy hat on.
I don't know if
I don't know if I even noticed it.
I mean, you lean into it.
From Charlie Brown.
Well, yeah. If you're called Snoopy, yeah. you lean into it,
you
right?
Just, you own it.
Yeah. You do?
I think I'm going to become a shrimper just so I can get a cool nickname.
And he also, he had two sweet dogs riding on the boat with us.
Oh, that's great.
That, I guess they didn't make that cut.
So but. So what ultimately surprised you the most with during those conversations?
I mean, I was surprised that the commercial seafood industry in Cameron is struggling.
Yeah.
From climatological issues, over-industrializational issues, and a lot of them are having to pivot to do different things. Snoopy catches shrimp, but he also does a lot of crabbing as well now. And he said that the crabbing industry has helped supplement
his business,
Yeah,
I know. We've talked to a lot of the shrimpers down there who, as their industry is evolving quite quickly, you know, they're trying to keep up and save their livelihood a little bit. But I know so many new laws are going into effect to help save the shrimping industry
in
Louisiana. So I love that these two guys and all the shrimpers I've ever talked to, they stay so positive about it. They're really – because they love it. They love what they do.
They truly do. And I try to get a good sound bite out of Snoopy saying that, but it was more conversational because we talked about him trying different things and going for work for other places. And he is out there 7 days a week. And then whenever he's done dragging net in the channel, then he goes to check on his crab traps and set more bait for those. And I said, you love this, don't you? And he said, yeah. Yeah, I do.
Wouldn't change it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's beautiful to see. That kind of leads into
and
the next one.
Exactly. The outdoors. And this one was a video that, I don't know, ambitious maybe is the right word for this, right? Because with this pillar, we wanted to hit history and geography and a little of everything. And it ended up also touching on the Calcasieu River and birding and the Creole Nature Trail, resilience after storm. It's kind of... The heart and soul of it maybe is the right way to kind of view it. Who in that video gave you the quote or moment that kind of stopped you in your tracks, made you think?
Well, I would say I got breakfast with Adley prior to us filming because I myself had a different understanding of the history here in Southwest Louisiana. And I wanted to meet with him and really get the rundown. He is a local historian here.
A treasure trove of information.
Absolutely. And what's kind of sad is that our history in this area is just not very well documented. So it is kind of up to these orators to keep passing it down. I mean, you can go to the Imperial Calcasieu Museum here in Lake Charles, and you can find a lot of this out. But... this is not stuff that's going to turn up on Google, for the most part. But the thing that surprised me the most was him saying that this was the Wild West before the Wild West. So this was wild Southwest Louisiana. But back in the 1800s, even after, the Louisiana Purchase, this area was considered a no man's land and, was ungoverned. And that's why we know about pirates like Jean Lafitte. He was able to operate here and he was the person who would bring things in. There were no stores. There were no peddlers coming by to supply anything. And so this land was just, it was lawless, you know?
Yeah.
And because of that, it was also a place that people could have hid out who needed to lay low from other areas. That's why a lot of black communities grew and flourished here because of that. There were a lot of people, freed people of color and escaped slaves who came and joined communities here like Mossville.
Found some sanctuary in this place, yeah.
Yeah, and it was just so interesting. I'd never known that, and it also lends to how diverse this area really is.
My hometown of Oakdale, legend has it that it was such a place known for outlaws that they changed the name at some point. It was Dunnsville, I think, before, and they changed their name to try to
just rebranding.
Get a better, yeah.
Good PR
they
team
rebranded. That's the legend I hear. But yeah, that it was such a place known for outlaws in this no man's land that was this area.
And I was, I'm a McNeese alum and never really understood why we were the Cowboys, but now I do because
now
this,
you get it.
This was cowboy country as well. There was a lot of flat land and prairie, which made it a great place for running cattle. And that was one of the big industries here.
Mm-hmm. And I love that you kind of tied that at the end. One of my favorite conversations I was able to sit on some of the interviews was talking to the Louisiana Department of Wildlife representative Robbie Maxwell and hearing his history that he talked about the land and kind of from the ecosystem aspect of it, where he talked about prairie and it being kind of unique that we have this stretch of prairie here that's kind of rare for where it is and where it's situated and how it is. And then just you start figuring out, okay, well, that makes sense why this was settled this way, how this was done this way. And then, we've talked about here on the podcast the railroad history of this area and how that kind of changed everything. And it's just, it was just a lot of things going on all at one time, which a good line that Adley kind of talked about, it was there were so many different avenues that came through here that led to what we know today.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. And Lynn Jones, the bird photographer or wildlife photographer, and Robbie and Allie kind of say the same thing, that this is a major throughway for wildlife, for the economy, for people. And it's something kind of you always knew, but then whenever you put it together, it just makes so much sense. Like we are a big hub because of our port.
Yeah,
The railways and the waterways to get things out.
And I feel like
the birds see it too.
And the birds see it. The birds get it.
I feel like it's also too for those that are native to this area or to Louisiana. You take all of these things for granted until you see it again.
Absolutely.
Or you see it from a different lens, and then you go, "Wow. This is really cool. This is a beautiful place to live. Wow, we do have a great food and culture and music."
I agree with you 100%. Like this was, I feel bad for the viewers. It was a much bigger education for me than they'll get because I mean I lived in these worlds for much longer than the about 3 minute duration of these videos and really got to see. And it was just also neat that all these people, I didn't pay a single person to participate. Like I asked, will you take me on a boat? And they said, yes, our people here are very willing to share their culture, which is, I don't know if that's unique or not, but I think it's something special that
I think so too.
People are very kind here, and they want to share. They want to show you their cool thing, you know.
And one of those people was Rusty Matoir in the music video,
yes.
Right? Yeah. And he showed you a little bit of his slice of life, if you will.
Yeah, Rusty's the best. I had worked with Rusty previously because, like I said, he was part of that passion project I was working on. So I had gotten to know him. Previously, and I knew that he would be perfect for this video. He's such a great ambassador for Southwest Louisiana and a talented musician, just a humble, down-to-earth family man as well.
Yeah, and I loved the line in there about the fact that on the weekends, on the weekdays, he's fixing ACs. He's dad. He's just whoever. Mm-hmm. But on the weekends, he's a rock star. You know, people line up and they wear shirts and they come out to support him. And then beyond that, from the video aspect, he's the only one where you hear one voice for the video. Yep. He carries it by himself. What made you want to center the music chapter on him instead of several voices?
Well, he, I think, just perfectly represents our area, you know. He does work hard. He is a family man. He is extremely talented. We have a lot of talent in this area. And he's just a true ambassador of this lake area. And I felt like he summed everything up for that video.
And his line at the end of the video was obviously my favorite, and probably my favorite line of the entire series, where he talks about Creole culture pulling from all different kinds of people together, and then says the line, "America is for everybody."
That's right. Yeah.
And it was the line that I used in my promo video of the series. I used it for a couple of those cuts because it sums up everything perfect. Being that you closed it, your video with it as well, I assume you kind of see the same thing there.
Absolutely. I mean, that has been the recurring theme that has shown itself throughout this whole project, was that this area is for everybody. You're not going to meet the same kind of person anywhere here. It's very diverse. It is a gumbo pot, mm-hmm. not a melting pot. It's a gumbo pot, and it is richer than the sum of its parts, you know, with everybody put together.
Working on this series, is there a particular moment that kind of sums it all up for you, a particular shot or something that you're really proud of capturing?
I was very proud of capturing the Mardi Gras, mm-hmm. the chicken run, because, like I said earlier, that was like a true cultural experience. Some Mardi Gras parades that you go to, it's a lot of strangers together and acting as strangers. You know, they're just mm-hmm. they're trying to catch beads or whatever and party, have a good time. But at this, everyone knew each other. And it was just so real and authentic. I'm also technically proud of the whole series and being able to put that together and find these stories. Because a lot of times we have an idea of what the story was, mm-hmm. what we wanted it to be, or what our narrative arc was going to be. And then after you do an interview, you realize that's not it.
Yeah.
It's something else, and that they inform you of what it is, and it takes a certain amount of creativity to find that story and then put it together and make it a complete narrative arc that people can understand and see a throughway for.
Well, and from us also in the, you know, media world, I got to say, technically speaking, we'll nerd out here for just a second.
Yeah.
Technically, visually, the audio speaking, it's a beautiful piece that you've put together.
Thank you so much.
It's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, and I was going to say, it's funny enough, we're kind of on the same wavelength as that, where is that this conversation is unique in that each of us have been filmmakers in some form or fashion, whether it be for television news, which is where Jillian still is, for me, who's kind of a hybrid of both professionally and what I did television and what I do for Visit Lake Charles and all I do, and then you being a video production company.
Yeah.
We've all had to make stories, and those are my favorite ones, where you go in thinking A and you leave thinking this has to be B or even C.
That challenge mm-hmm. is so much fun when you go, oh, I am telling this a different way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you come back to the drawing board once you're done
this
with it,
this is not
you go,
how
oh,
it was supposed to go,
different.
And it's going
to
be better because of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was easily probably one of the most challenging. It was the most challenging project I've done, because it was also the biggest, having four separate videos and I don't know, I guess 10 to 12 interviews.
Sure. What was the most challenging? Was there a shot or some type of composition that you felt the most challenged by when doing that?
Well, one of the hardest things was getting a shot of the side of the river on the boat during the nature video, because whenever the boat driver punched it, we were going like 50 miles an hour. That wind was whipping.
It's a bit aggressive.
And I was hanging tight, trying to stay
holding
low.
Holding on to that camera.
Holding on to my livelihood camera to make sure that didn't fly out of my hands. That was certainly challenging. But, I mean, the Mardi Gras Day shoot, that was a very long, that was an all-day thing
sure.
that was out there. So I had to consider if I had enough batteries. Also had my wife help me with her to be a second camera at times, and then try not to abuse her too much and let her have fun as well. And also on that day, my family was with me. So we really did celebrate the Mardi Gras with them. I was not just working. I had a fantastic time and brought my sister-in-law and my special needs brother-in-law as well. And I was worried how he was going to be with this because he does not like to walk. He likes to sit. But we got to sit on the float, and he had the best time. Y'all may have figured it out. People who know us know, but I featured him in 3 of the videos.
Okay, he's in a lot of them. Yeah.
He's just in a clip of it, but he didn't make it into the nature video. He wasn't around for that. But he's a real fun person too.
That's awesome.
To be around, so it was kind of fun. A little Easter egg for our family to stick him in.
Oh, that's fun. I love that. So when you wrapped up all this project, what's the one thing you hope someone, obviously you hope people that are from here find like a new love, mm-hmm. reinvigorated love for this area, right? But for somebody who's not from here, somebody out of state, maybe never been here before, what do you hope they understand now about Southwest Louisiana?
That it's own unique thing. Well, we don't have Bourbon Street here, but we have a lot of other great things. We have incredible places to fish, a lot of beautiful wildlife to see. I think some of the best food in Louisiana is here.
In the world.
Well, yeah, that part. You know, it goes world in Louisiana.
But that's just my opinion.
I mean, I'm a fan of it.
Yeah.
Obviously.
And this is a real culturally rich community. This is a real authentic community. This is not a private equity built place to get influencers to get your matcha tea and at your boutique hotel or whatever. This is a place. This is a real place people live and have lived for a long time. And a history like that can't be faked.
No.
And welcome you in. That's the biggest thing. It's not just, there's plenty of places in this country that are as authentic as what we live here, but not everywhere wants people to come see it. Wants you to come eat crawfish at their table with you.
Yeah.
Wants you to try a bowl of their gumbo. It's different here because of that, in my opinion.
I agree 100%. John Duff, the fisherman that I rode with in the nature video on his boat, he said the same thing, that people here are terrible at keeping secrets, you know, and they'll share their honey hole with you and tell you where the fish are biting.
Yeah. And I think hopefully people out there go and watch this series, right, and then come live it. Even if just for a weekend, watch it, get your preview in of what this place is really all about, and then come pass a good time here.
Come pass a good time, come eat, get to know your bartender, ask them where to go.
They'll know.
Sounds good.
They'll know.
Thanks again to Matthew for joining us here on the show, and the biggest thank you of all goes out to you, the listener, for joining us on the podcast, which, Jillian, I'm going to let them know. The last audio-only podcast.
This is it. Then you have to look at us, too.
Or you can. You could also, if you want to
then
just...
Then you can look at us, I should say.
We're not going to not be anywhere else that we currently are, but if you want to watch us, you can. And if you want to just say, you know what, it was better with my eyes closed, you can do that, too.
Maybe it is.
But if you don't mind, if you've been listening to us, we appreciate it. If you can leave us a like, a comment, review, something... Anything to let us know that you appreciate us and want us to keep going, we like it. We also love episode suggestions. So if you have those, feel free to drop them in.
That's right. And go to visitlakecharles.org/podcast for more episodes, advice on where to eat, and events that are happening this very weekend. I'm Jillian Corder.
And I'm Brady Raynard. Thanks again for coming to play at Louisiana's Playground City.